This morning, in order to keep things short, we are going to take a look at the longest chapter in the Bible. Turn with me to Psalm 119. While many readers find this chapter difficult to engage with because of its length, the beauty of it often gets overlooked. I want to begin by giving some background and context. While the author is never explicitly stated, most scholars agree that it was most likely written by David or possibly Ezra, and a few hold on to and suggest Daniel and Jeremiah. But Jewish rabbis, they have always said and hold to the fact that this is a psalm of David, and they point to a number of phrases and verses throughout the psalm to support this claim. But no matter who the author was, it doesn't really matter. It was likely written over a period of some time and then compiled. We're not exactly sure when or how long that would be, but based on the wording and how the psalm fits together, that is pretty clear. Because there's not a definite flow. If you're familiar with this psalm, most of you have probably read it at some point in your life, but you may not remember the gist of it. There's not a particular flow from beginning to end. It's sort of like how Proverbs is written. There's different phrases kind of all pieced together. In the sections of these verses I read were described this way. It's not like a chain where one link is connected to the other, but it's like a string of pearls where each pearl has an equal and independent value. And so each of these verses is sort of like this little pearl of wisdom. And we're going to look at that over the coming weeks. I already jokingly referenced that this is the longest chapter in the Bible. Anyone know offhand how many verses? 176. That's at least 176 sermons the way I see it. 22 times 8 is 176. I set you guys up perfectly there. 176, 22 times 8. It was right there, guys. This chapter is comprised of 22 stanzas, each having how many lines?
22.
Eight. 22 stanzas, 8 lines. This is real complicated stuff. You'll notice in your Bible that there's these strange words before each of the following 8 verses. And you may, I don't know, maybe you thought that they were just some Hebrew instructions like Selah, we think is a pause and meditate or a sort of a instrumental time during the worship, is what many people believe. And it's not that. What these words are is, in fact, the 22 Hebrew letters of the alphabet. And we talked about this morning in Sunday school, did we not? There are 22 letters, and they are spelled out phonetically because the Hebrew alphabet, which you can see up here on the screen, very small, does not look like ours. On the far left are some circled letters. That's Aleph, which is their A. In the first 8 verses, remember they read from right to left, all start with the letter Aleph. And they're broken down. There's 22 letters. When they're phonetically spelled out into English, that's these words that you get. As far as I'm aware, only the NIV has the Hebrew letters written out next to the transcribing of them.
King James.
King James does? It's got the Hebrew letter and the spelling?
Yeah.
Okay. So some Bibles may have the Hebrew letters next to it. Most of them are spelled out into our English language. Again, Aleph is that letter that's circled, or you can see it at the very top, verses 1 through 8. On the right is A-L-E-P-H, is sort of phonetically how you spell it. So that's what these words mean. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Tav, that's akin to our A through Z. 22 stanzas times 8 lines or verses. Now what is happening at the beginning of each of these lines, as I said, and you can see this is a copy of the underneath one, the kind of brownish looking thing on the far right, again because they read from right to left, are the letters. And you can see very clearly the first 8 lines, and then there's a stanza, and the next one is bait. This is how it worked. It would be painfully obvious to the Hebrew reader and listener because of how they work, but this is, I'm going to give you an example of what it is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because it's beautiful once you do. Could you give us an example, Pastor? Well, don't you realize that I am? Even Caleb is confused at this point. Funny you should mention that. Glad we're getting this out of the way. H, how long should I keep this up? Well, I could probably go on like this for hours. J, just listen carefully to the words I'm saying. Kind of weird pastors talking like this, isn't it? Listen, I'll never deny that I'm weird. Maybe we could just move on. No, I don't think we can. OCD is a very painful thing, right, matey? Perhaps you'll bear with me while I just have to get this completely out of my system. All right. This is what the author has done, except for instead of one line for one letter, he's done eight. So 22 times eight. Aleph, verses 1 through 8. Beit, verses 9 through 16, etc., etc. So why would a poet bother to write the psalm this way? Well, I don't know if I can answer that completely, but I would suggest this as evidence. Why do we sing multiple verses to the same tune in hymns? Why do we have poems in English that rhyme? Because it's sort of just a stylistic thing. Sometimes it helps us memorize. It helps us with a tune. You can hear a hymn that you've never heard before, or a song, most often in hymns because modern songs are a little bit different. If you hear the first verse, you can often sing along with the second, third, and fourth. Why? It was supposed to be so that the congregation could sing along with it. That was the point. So there's also this stylistic part, and it sort of adds to the grandness of this work, I think, anyway. Secondly, some speculate that more practically speaking, this may have been an intentional effort by the writer, whoever, David, to help people memorize this psalm. We talked in Sunday school this morning, just coincidentally. I had already announced last week that I was going to do this as my next series, but in Psalm 145 this morning we looked at, it does a very similar thing. Through 21 verses, it leaves out one letter, which happens to be found in this Greek Old Testament, but it's the same thing, except for much grander times eight. And this is perhaps a way to help children, as I said, memorize the alphabet. Archaeologists have discovered numerous, how many of you have heard this word before? Abecedaries. I had never heard that word before. Abecedaries is actually a word. It's exactly what it is. It's a list of ABCs. And actually, you can use this for any language, but we just happen to have stole it from Latin. But ABCdaries have been found all over in the ancient Near East. That is, lists in alphabetical order. They've found them on pottery. They have found them carved into stone. They found them pressed into clay. And these would be much like our ABCs that we would give children today to learn things. Even in the New England Primer, which some of you might be old enough to remember. First published in 1690. Sorry, Louis. You're not that old, are you? It was actually used a very long time. In its original publication, though, it used a biblical framework to teach the alphabet. And I've got a slide here for you. It says, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven to find the Bible mind. Christ crucified for sinners died. The deluge drowned the earth around. It goes on. And this is the original publication of it. But these sorts of things are useful in education. Now, if you put this back in the context of the Hebrews, it really makes sense because the Jewish children would have been expected to memorize portions of the Torah. Well, how can one read and memorize the law without first learning grammar and spelling? So they're connected together. In ancient practice, learning the law and learning the written language of God were bound together. You would need to learn the alphabet in order to memorize the Torah. But by looking at the Torah, you can learn to read on your own. Now, someone has said that Psalm 119's complex alphabetic structure presents in order to order itself, an orderly presentation of order itself. God's law, God's very word to Israel, proclaimed in a very orderly way, A to Z, Aleph to Tav. Now, into English, much of this is lost in translation, but the beauty of God's word remains. We've lost it. So I want you to think through the grandness of, as we go through the alphabet in the coming weeks, what this might have looked like to them. But we are going to break down these stanzas, if you will, of these eight verses. I want to discuss firstly the content. We'll get into the scriptures here in a second. The entire psalm is about God's word. From A to Z, Aleph to Tav. Remember, this is a song. It's a song about the law, God's word. It's a psalm about the greatness and glory of the Torah, for that was the word of God that was available to them at the time. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It is a song about those five books. That's our Old Testament. The first five books of our Old Testament was the Torah. That was the law. How many of you have a favorite book of the Bible? My grandmother, she tells me she loves 1 John and Philippians. Those are her two. She just told me a couple weeks ago. Louis, what's your favorite book?
Ruth.
Who else raised their hand? Mady?
Romans.
Anyone else?
Ephesians.
Ephesians? Good one. I'm a little biased because I did a series on it. Anyone else? A lot of favorite. That's like people. Those people in high school, you're one of my best friends. I'm like, how many best friends can you possibly have? As someone who's very legalistic with the English language, you can only have one best friend. Maybe you can only have one favorite book. Sorry. No, I understand it. What's your favorite Bible verse? It's hard, right? Now, I did not hear anyone say that their favorite book was Leviticus or Numbers. I mean, right? But that's what this is about. It's 176 verses of love for Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Genesis. Think about it. I'm just trying to paint the picture of this. How many verses of this chapter can anyone rattle off? One, two, all of you know one. You might not know you know one. Maybe three or four if you're doing really well, which I think is still a failing grade. That's like 2%. This psalm is about the love of God's word, and we barely know it. That's my point. So we're going to spend some weeks going over this. And while, yes, it is a comparatively long chapter, I will argue that its length is its strength. Oh, church, there is so much room to declare the beauty of God's word, to speak of wonder of following his law. I'm urging you to try not to be overwhelmed by the thought of how many weeks is Eric going to speak on this. Do not miss the beauty of all that it contains. The Bible Panorama, a commentary, describes this, quote, as the inventory of a huge treasure chest on the back of a postcard. You know what I find most interesting about these 176 verses? In total, God's word is mentioned more than 176 times. 178 times God's word is referenced in this one chapter. Every single verse, except for five, by some counts. Some people count them a little bit differently, depending on what verb or word or synonym is used. All verses, 171 verses, specifically mention God's word. Now, instead of going over them one by one this morning, that would take us some time, I want to talk about the various Hebrew synonyms used. This is sort of an introduction to this series, and these are not in any particular order. The first word that is used to describe God's word is word. It is used 24 times. The Hebrew is dabar or daba. It means word, matter, and speech. And this is key because there's another word for word. We're going to get to that at the end. Just like in Greek, There are two different words. We've talked recently about that. I don't remember what sermon it was. Logos and the Rhema in Greek. There's different words in Hebrew. And many people say that this is closer to the word Logos, if you had to pick one. But I studied it, and I don't think it's quite exact a fair comparison. But the idea here is on the content of what is being communicated. Daba Yahweh. Word of the Lord. He's communicating something to us. Turn in your Bibles, Psalm 119. Let's look at a couple examples of this. Verse 16 and 17 use this word. Daba or Dabar. It is verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Those two verses contain the word Daba. Secondly, the second synonym we see this writer talk about is the word into English as testimonies, your testimonies. It is used 23 times, the Hebrew word edut, edut. Verse 31, I'm going to flip with me. We're going to move quickly through the chapter, and I'm going to give you examples of all these eight different synonyms. 31 says, I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. Skip down to verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Again, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Yours might be slightly different. The third word is commandments. Mitzvah. Mitzvah. It is used 22 times. Verse 47 and 48 say, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. The word commandments, mitzvah, is used 22 times. Your law, fourth, is used 25 times. Anyone know the Hebrew word for law? That's right. Torah. Oh, you cheated. Too quick on the slides there. Who did that? All right. Did you guys know the word was Torah? Law. It's the word Torah. That's what it means. When you talk about Torah, it's literally just the English pronunciation of the Hebrew word. It means law. So he talks about the word law 25 times. It means an instruction or direction or law. Let's look at verse 51. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. Verse 53. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Verse 55. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. Next word, precepts. Some translations call this instructions, I believe. But precepts in the New American Standard. Pikadim, it is used 21 times. Pikadim. Verses 93 and 94, use it together. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. Three more. Ordinances. Mishpat. 23 times. Ordinances. If you're following along, let's look at 102. It's weird to see 100 verses in a chapter. It just doesn't feel right, does it? I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. Verse 106. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. 108. Accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. Statutes is used 21 times. It's the word hoke. Hoke. It's a statute or an ordinance or a limit, something prescribed. This word is used by Job to describe the physical limit or boundary rather than a legal or moral one. So going up to a certain point, but it's not a legal or moral obligation, is how it's used in Job. 21 times, statutes. Verse 117 and 118. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. Then finally, we will flip over to 170, is this last kind of word. The first one was daba. This one is imrah. It's used 19 times, translated as word. So you're going to find some places that say word, and it might be one or the other. And it's a very subtle difference. I have a hard time describing it. The New American Standard says in the margin that it's more like a promise. It's a word, it's a commandment, it's a speech. It's compared to, closer to a rhema word, something that is spoken and promised. But again, it's a really not a exact or perfect comparison. But in verse 170 and 172, this word is used. Let's look at them. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. As I said before, more than the number of verses in this chapter are references to the word of God. This writer is expressing the power and the wisdom and the benefit of God's word. 176 verses of the beauty of God's word. That's the theme of this entire chapter, is the love for God's word. It's a poetic work of love toward God's word. Oh, beloved, I wonder, do you love God's word? Do you love God's word enough to make it through 176 sermons on this? I mean, are you like really in love with his words? Do you love his words above all else? Do you crave reading his scripture, or is it a burden? John 8:31 in the Amplified says, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. In other words, abiding in his word is holding fast to his teachings and living in accordance with him. That's what it means to abide in his word. If we would love God's word, we would hold fast to his teachings and live in abidance with him. That proves that we are truly disciples. Jesus tells us that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, the Father is glorified and we prove to be his disciples. That is, abiding in God's word, dwelling, living, taking up abode in God's word is a requirement to being a disciple of Christ. Most Christians today, I imagine, do not abide in the word the way they ought. I wish I abode in the word more. I love his word. It is challenging to read at times. Sometimes you get to the end of your day, you're tired, you haven't gotten in your devotional time yet. You're like, oh man, I'm behind a day. Now you're like six chapters got to read tonight. Your eyes are closing. It's not always easy. But I will say there's a piece of me that even though my flesh is weak, my spirit is loving and craving. And I don't want anyone to feel guilty about, you know, having to push through to read God's word. And I think there is beauty in forcing ourselves to do it. But we ought to make sure that our mind is being renewed and ask God, say, God, help me to fall in love with you. Help me to see you on every page. I know Louis has taught that for years, is, you know, Jesus is on every page. And I absolutely agree with him. And if we would look even through the Old Testament and we ask the Holy Spirit to show us, that you'll see Jesus on every page. And that means not in a weird literal, you're going to find the word Jesus on every page. It means that Jesus is evident from the beginning. In the beginning, God, you see Jesus there. All the way through the laws, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, the Old Testament. You'll see Jesus in the book of Ruth, right, Louis? You'll see Jesus through all the Psalms. And so we need to ask God, if you're struggling with reading his word, ask him, invite the Holy Spirit, say, God, I want to fall in love with your word. I know that your word has value and purpose. Would you help me to fall in love with it? And I think that's really where we all ought to be. I think we all can grow in that, even myself. Can you recall the Apostle John's beautiful description of the incarnation, the arrival of Jesus Christ? John testifies of something that is implied all throughout the Psalms. And you'll see this as we go through Psalm 119. That God is intimately connected with his word. You'll find Jesus and his word connected together. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was. He was in the beginning with God. And later on down in chapter 1 of John, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved, I've got some great news for you. Jesus Christ is the living word. So when the psalmist is sitting here writing, oh, how I love your word. Oh, your word would be honey to me. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What he's describing is, Jesus, would you be closer to me? May I experience more of you, Jesus? Jesus, you are all I need. Would you go before me? Oh, how I follow after your ways, Jesus. You can almost replace the words for word that we just went over with Jesus and use this as a praise and a meditation. And so in the coming weeks, as we go through these sections of Scripture, I know it may be tempting at times to check out or to lose track of why we're doing this, but I want you to remember that this psalm is as much about the greatness and glory of Jesus as the New Testament is. Father God and his word are perfectly connected, and this truth ought to be celebrated. Church, I think if we are honest with ourselves, we have room to grow in our appreciation and understanding of God's word. Charles Spurgeon said, "This wonderful psalm, from its great length, helps us to wonder at the immensity of Scripture. From its keeping to one subject, it helps us to adore the unity of Scripture, for it is but one. Yet from the many turns it gives to the same thought, it helps you to see the variety of Scripture. I have weighed each word and looked at each syllable with lengthened meditation, and I bear witness that this sacred song is charmingly varied from beginning to end. Its variety is that of a kaleidoscope. In the kaleidoscope, you look once, and there is strangely beautiful form. You shift the glass a very little, and another shape, equally delicate and beautiful, is before your eyes. So it is here." Have that image in your mind as you're bogged down with God's word, God's law, God's statutes, God's ordinances, God's word. Think of it as this kaleidoscope in this picture as we turn the glass and you see a new image. Matthew Henry's father, Philip, he told his children to take one verse of Psalm 119 every morning and meditate on them. And thereby you would go through the psalm twice in 1 year. He told them that this will bring you to be in love with the rest of Scripture. William Wilberforce, David Livingstone, and several others could quote the entire psalm verse by verse. Wow. It is my desire and my endeavor to try to put as much to the memory as I can this year. That is what the Lord has led me to do during this fast. So I'm going to try my best to memorize. If anyone wants to memorize along with me, I encourage you to try. I'm not very good at memory anymore. I used to try to memorize chapters. I lost all my hair. I pulled all my hair out. I'm going to try my best. I'm going to memorize as many as I can. Thomas Manton, he was a Puritan preacher and writer. He wrote a 3-volume work on Psalm 119. Each volume was between 500 and 600 pages, to a total of 1,677 pages he wrote on this one psalm. Yeah, so if you think I'm going slow, boy, have I got a book for you to read. 3 of them. He wrote 190 chapters on 176 verses. All right, so there's grandness in this chapter. I bet it took him more than a year. I honestly, I don't know what the plan is. I'm just going to go through this verse or this chapter throughout the year as the Lord leads. I don't intend to follow a very strict schedule like we've done through Galatians and Ephesians, but sprinkle in between perhaps other messages. That's my plan and my intention, is that the year of 2025 would be a year that we fall in love with God's word. So that's kind of my heart. Psalm 119 is to go through this. Now, on the one hand, I'm afraid that we might get discouraged if we embark on a series of this one chapter because of its apparent redundancy. I mean, how many ways can someone possibly teach that God's word is useful, right? But on the other hand, as I've spent time in prayer about this, I feel that God wants us to grow not only in our knowledge and understanding of his word, but also in our appreciation for it. And so my hope is that this year we might grow to have this newfound appreciation and love for his word as we embark on unpacking this chapter, one section at a time, that we will have seared into our minds how wonderful and valuable the word of God truly is. I hope that we will see Jesus on every page, on every verse, in every stanza. I hope none of you are already discouraged before we've even started. Let me boldly say this. If you are not looking forward to this series, then this series is for you. I'm going to say that. That might sound harsh and mean, but it's the truth. But I want to begin this series and close out this introduction. I've cut my teaching time a little bit shorter. We went a little bit long with everything else. I'm going to close out. Curtis, if you want to come up on the piano, you can. I'm going to read through this entire chapter. I expect it to take about 12 or 13 minutes. And I want to encourage you to do what you need to do to focus on it. If you want to follow along, the New American Standard Bible's in the seats in front. If you want to follow along verbatim or pull it up on your phone, you want to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep, but sometimes it's good to just do that and meditate as the words are being read over you. But I wanted to invite you just to listen to the grandness of this work as we begin this series. And Curtis, as you feel led, just accompany along in some music. And then we will dismiss after that. Psalm 119, the Word of God says, Aleph. How blessed are those whose ways is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Bait. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With your lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I might live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing. After your ordinances, at all times, you rebuke the arrogant, the cursed who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on all your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Dalet. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Vav. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Zion, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs and the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I consider my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Tate, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Yod. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in your unfaithfulness you have afflicted me. O, may your loving kindness comfort me, according to your word to your servant. May your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. Kaf. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me! They almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy you. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Mame. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Oh, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Samech. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not be let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Ayin. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. Pay. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. Said he. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me, because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Koph. I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Resh. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are the persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Shin. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do keep your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tav. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And thus ends the reading of the Word of God.